Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. Hymn 462.
Read together from the Holy Word of God this morning from the second book of Samuel and the 12th chapter. And in that chapter, we'll read to the end of the 25th verse. the second book of Samuel, chapter 12, commencing to read at the first verse and reading to the end of the 25th verse. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children, and it did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveller unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord, to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbour, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in, and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died, and the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, Is the child dead? And they said, He is dead. Then David arose from the earth, and washed and anointed himself, and changed his apparel, and came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive. But when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And he said, While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. And David comforted Bathsheba his wife, and went in unto her, and lay with her. And she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved him. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah, because of the Lord. And we'll leave the reading of God's holy word there. May he bless it to each of our souls, and may help each of us to call upon his great and holy name in prayer. Great and almighty Lord God, we pray, Lord, that thou would teach us how to pray, as thou did, Lord, to thy disciples. Lord, teach us how to pray, what we should pray for, Lord. And, O Lord, we thank thee that there is that one that make those intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Lord, as we come into these, thine earthly courts, on this, the morning of thy day, may each of us become with that true spirit of praise and that true spirit of thanksgiving, that, Lord, we may be granted that true worshipping frame of mind, that we might worship thee in spirit and in truth. We've read of David, as thou knowest, Lord, and how David worshipped thee, even, Lord, when his child was dead. May, Lord, we worship thee. Lord, we thank thee that this day thou hast granted unto us this opportunity to assemble ourselves together round thy word. We know, Lord, thy word declares that we should forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But, Lord, may we come with that truly thankful spirit that, Lord, thou hast granted unto us the health and strength to be found in these thine earthly courts on this thy day. That, Lord, thou hast granted unto us journeying mercies. Those of us, Lord, that have journeyed, thou hast kept us safe from harm and preserved us from all evil. Lord, thou hast granted us the desire to be found here on this thy day. Lord, but may we come with all our desires, all our wants, Lord, and make our requests known unto thee with thanksgiving. What a merciful and gracious God thou art. May we truly be aware, made conscious of thy mercies, thy manifold mercies. Look, Lord, thou dost delight in mercy. Look, Lord, thou art abundant in mercy. We think, Lord, of thy mercies in providence, preserving mercies, keeping mercies, keeping us safe, Lord, from those dangers that we've seen and those dangers that are unseen to us, but they're not unseen to thee. That, Lord, thou hast been with us, we trust, Lord, and we think of that hymn we've just sung, that guiding and that directing, that will guide us through this life and afterward receive us into glory. What a mercy, Lord, that thou dost guide thy people, that thou dost direct thy people, that, Lord, thou art that wall of fire round about and the glory in the midst. We thank thee, Lord, for thy mercies, health and strength, food, clothing, raiment. We thank thee, Lord, for these providential things that come through thy good and gracious hands. And Lord, let us not be unmindful of these things. Let us not just take them for granted, lest thou should take them from us. We thank thee, Lord, that this cause of truth has been maintained. We thank thee, Lord, for the witness in this place. We thank thee, Lord, for the number that gather here. And as our brother Deacon used to say at Braintree before he was taken into glory, what a mercy it is to have a few like-minded friends to gather with. Those, Lord, that we might converse with about the things of God. And how, Lord, we should speak more often to each other the things of God. How this sinner in the pulpit comes so short in these things. But how we should speak to thy praise, thine honour and thy glory. Lord, to speak to thy glory. And also to confirm each other, Lord, to help each other, to strengthen each other, Lord. And we would bear each other's burdens. And so fulfil the word of God. We thank thee, Lord, for thy mercies in providence. But we thank thee, Lord, for thy greater mercies in grace. That, Lord, thou hast preserved us over this past week, or the last time since we were enabled to gather in thy house. Some of us have done many hundreds of miles, and thou hast kept us safe from harm. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast not dealt with us as our sins deserve. That, Lord, we're still found on praying ground. That we're still, Lord, enabled to gather in thine house. That, Lord, we're not in hell. For if my soul was sent to hell, thy righteous Lord declares it well. And yet, Lord, thou art a merciful God. Thou art a gracious God. And yet, Lord, we must come in with that spirit of the publican, not the spirit of the Pharisee. We would not come down, we would not come in looking down on others, Lord. No, we come in pleading for mercy. For Lord, we're great sinners. Yeah, what a mercy if each here in this place have felt to be like the chiefest of sinners. Yea, Lord, have felt to be like that 500 pence debtor or even a 50 pence debtor because he freely or frankly forgave them both. Lord, we thank thee, Lord, that thou hast not dealt with us as we deserve. Thou art long-suffering. Thou art a God of compassion. That thou art a God of love. That thou art merciful. Thou art gracious. And Lord, be gracious. And may we know more of thy grace. May we each grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. May, Lord, we become more like thee, less like we are. May, Lord, we conform to thine image, not conform to the world. We know thy people are transformed, conformed to thee. Lord, but how, Lord, we come so short. How this sinner in the pulpit comes so short. Feels this poverty, inadequacy, failings, shortcomings. Even those of the last week, the sins, Lord, we've committed. For even when we would do good, evil is with us. Lord, the many failings, the many shortcomings, the many sins. Yes, Lord, perhaps we can say kept from outward sin. And yet, Lord, thou seest, thou knowest our hearts. O Lord, have mercy. Thou wilt be merciful to whom thou wilt be merciful. Thou wilt be gracious to whom thou wilt be gracious. But Lord, God be merciful to me, a sinner. O Lord, may that be the cry of each here. Thou art merciful, Lord, but may we prove it. Providential mercies and those greater spiritual mercies. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy on a great sinner. Yea, even the chiefest of sinners. Be, Lord, with each, we beseech, and be with each of thy people. Again, Lord, we think of the many comforts we have in this life, the many benefits that we have from thy good and gracious hand that we are enabled to gather. That we do have a court none lawfully hindering us. That we do have a cause of truth to gather in, a few friends, Lord. We have thy word in our own language, that thou hast given unto each of us the ability to read thy word. But may it read us, Lord. And may we be amongst the Bereans that search the scriptures. May, Lord, we search the scriptures, for they speak of a precious Christ, and reveal a precious Christ more unto us from thy word, Lord. Do, Lord, grant, Lord, that thy presence might be known and felt here. Whenever the friends are enabled to gather in the week evening services on the Lord's Day, grant thy gracious presence. Let us not be left to a formal religion, a religion that comes and goes at the chapel door. May, Lord, we have that religion, that tender heart before thee. And may, Lord, we have a religion that's founded upon thee and thee alone, that firmer foundation.
What a foundation it is that the Lord knows those that are his. What a mercy, Lord, that thou art an electing God. What a mercy, Lord, that thou hast chosen thy people in eternity past. Great sinners. Yea, Lord, deserve to be cast off, deserve to be forsaken, and yet thou knowest those that are thine. Those, Lord, that thou will have mercy upon. Those, Lord, who will be redeemed. O Lord, may we amongst those that are redeemed. May we each, Lord, be amongst those, Lord, have those evidences that our calling and election is sure. May, Lord, each of us give that diligence to make our calling and election sure. May we each know, Lord, that our names in that Lamb's Book of Life, from the youngest to the eldest. May we each know that our names are graven on the palms of thy hand that are on thine heart, Lord. And may we each have those evidences that our sins are forgiven, that we're made whiter than snow, that our sins, that my sins, are cast behind thy back, cast in the depths of the ocean, and we're made acceptable in the sight of a thrice holy God. With nothing to plead of ourselves, Lord, nothing that we have not received from thee, but we would plead that thou would be merciful, that, Lord, each might know the forgiveness of sins, and they might know thee, because to know thee, Lord, is to love thee for what thou hast done. May we each, Lord, get a view by faith of a suffering, exalted, glorified Saviour, even now at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. And, Lord, that's what we plead. We plead what he has done. And he has done alone. We plead that one that stands between in garments, dyed in blood, a precious Christ. Make him precious to each here. Make him the chiefest among 10,000, the altogether lovely, that pearl of great price. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. May we each have believing views. May we have that faith, that trust to look and live. May, Lord, thou be lifted up on the gospel pole here, and sinners look and live. Grant, Lord, thy presence here. Help the office bearers. Do be with them, Lord, in their responsibilities and their labour of love. Do, Lord, grant wisdom, wise counsel, and good judgment in all their dealings, but do be with them, Lord. This time of the year, when it approaches, when we think about engagements for the coming year, grant guidance, grant direction, we beseech of thee. And may thy servants ever be inclined to preach here, Lord, to preach the everlasting gospel of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, that thou may be lifted up on that gospel pole. Sinners laid, though, and thou lifted up, and sinners look. Look and live. Be with thy people throughout the world, Lord. Those that suffer great difficulties. We think of those, Lord, in places of conflict, right? The conflict might cease, these conflicts might cease, and peace might return. We think of those, Lord, that suffer persecution. With those in places like North Korea and other countries, we pray for thy people there, that thou would uphold them, that thou would strengthen them. Thou hast promised that thou wilt, Lord. Thou hast promised even to those that have hoar hairs that thou wilt carry them. But do be with thy people, Lord, and lessen persecution if it is thy will. And Lord, to each of thy people grant thy grace. For thy grace is sufficient. Thy strength is made perfect in weakness. Those that might feel to be weak, may the Lord have that strength which cometh alone from thee. Thou hast said, Lord, as thy days shall be, so shall thy strength be. And do, Lord, grant that to thy people, Lord, that upholding, that strengthening, that supporting. Be with thy people that are in affliction. Grant healing mercies as according to thy mind and with thy will. Bless the means used upon them. But what a mercy it is to each of thy people. They can say, Lord, as our hymn writes, not a shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. Be with those, Lord, that might be laid aside, that are unable to gather this day. Perhaps those, Lord, that are even in their own homes. Do, Lord, grant thy grace there. Grant they might be drawn apart, aside from the busy scenes that are about round about, and feel thy gracious presence. Any, Lord, that might be listening remotely. Do, Lord, bless the means, Lord, the right use of those means, Lord. May it not be an encouragement for those to stay away, Lord, but may it be used by those, Lord, that are unable to gather. Be, Lord, with those, Lord, that are elderly, those that feel the mud wall cottage shape, do be with them. Uphold them, grant their letter end, maybe better than their beginning. Do, Lord, be with those, Lord, that have lost loved ones. Those here, Lord, each of us, Lord, that have lost loved ones, do be with us. Uphold, strengthen us, but grant thy grace, grant thy upholding. We beseech of thee, Lord, a remainder of life's journey. Those, Lord, that lost wives and husbands, do be with them in their lonely times and how the burden must increase with time and time, Lord, but do uphold them. Do, Lord, be with them. Make up in their loss. But we thank thee, Lord, for those that are enabled to sorrow not as others, that they have that godly hope that their loved ones have gone to be with Christ, which is far better. But what a solemn thing, Lord, for any that are outside of Christ. We pray for those, Lord, that fear thee not. Those, Lord, that have no regard for thee. Those that don't know thee. Those that don't know their need of thee. We pray, Lord, that thou would work. Even in this day and generation in which we live, thine arm is not shortened, Lord. Not shortened. Otherwise, there'd be no hope for me or each of us. Thine arm is not shortened, that it cannot save. Even in these days in which we live, work mightily, we beseech you. Pluck those brands from the burning. Stop some in their mad career. Those, Lord, that are hurtling on the broad path to destruction. And there are many that go that way. And yet, Lord, thou canst work. And thou wilt work in thy people. We know thy will, Lord. For thou hast paid the price for their sins. But only thou knowest those that are thine. Lord, do, Lord, work mightily. We beseech, pluck those brands from the burning. Lord, we think of us as our friend prayed in the vestry. For those that are about, right about this place. Lord, those that are even going past on the road in the cars. Oh, Lord, may there be that constraining. And only thou canst do it, Lord. Constrain others to come in here, Lord. We thank thee for the goodly number that does gather. We know, Lord, thou art not a respecter of them. Because thou hast said thou will even be in the presence of the twos or threes. And yet, Lord, build up this cause. Build up each of the causes of truth while thy name is faithfully proclaimed. Grant that godly gracious increase. Grant, Lord, there might be an increase in the congregation and in the church. That sinners might be wrought upon by thee to speak to thy praise, thine honour, and thy. For thou knowest, Lord, if thy people are silent, even the rocks will cry out. But sinners might be brought forth to speak, Lord. Come and hear, all ye that fear God. And I will say, we have done for my soul. Do, Lord, grant it, Lord. We think of our poor denomination, minished and brought low. We think, Lord, of how many of our causes of truth that literally do only have twos or threes. We pray thou would work, even in this day, Lord. Grant, Lord, that others might be brought in. Go into the highways and the byways, Lord, and constrain others. Those that are lame, those that are halt, those that are blind. And do, Lord, open their eyes. Oh, Lord, work. Lord, grant, we thank thee, Lord, for those that do gather. And yet, Lord, even as we had to speak of here once, I believe it might have been at the ordinance, yet there is room. Yet there is room, Lord. Room in the congregation and room amongst thy people. Do, Lord, work mightily, we beseech, of thee. Thou wilt be inquired of by the house of Israel to do these things for them. Well, Lord, we're inquiring of thee to do these things for us. Work mightily. Be with our leaders. Do, Lord, grant wisdom and wise counsel unto them. We pray, Lord, for our new king. We pray, Lord, that thou would grant, Lord, that there might be that opening of the eyes, that right and proper example might be set, that he might know there's only one God. We pray for our Prime Minister. Grant, Lord, that his eyes might be opened, that he might realise the folly of those things that he professedly worships, and there might be that realisation that there's only one God in heaven, one way of being saved, one Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Lord, may they know it. May they be numbered amongst those that are thine, if it's thy will, Lord. And do, Lord, work mightily. Lord, preserve unto us our Lord's Day. Preserve unto us our Protestant heritage. Preserve unto us our Christian liberties. Do, Lord, hear the sighs and cries of thy poor people regarding the abominations that are done in the land. Stem the tide of iniquity. We think of the things that are taught in our schools. Do, Lord, grant, Lord, wisdom to parents. They might train up the children train them up in the way that they should go. They might be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Grant wisdom unto them, Lord, and grant discernment to the children, that they might form those right and proper friendships. They might be kept from the spirit. Lord, we pray for the children. Thou hast said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. Lord, we would bear them before thee. That, Lord, thou would grant unto them that fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom while young in years. That, Lord, they might be kept from the spirit of the world. They might be kept from wandering off into the world. But we would pray for any, Lord, that have gone into the world. That, Lord, thou would bring them back, even as that prodigal. That, Lord, they might be granted that repentance and returning to their father's house. Do, Lord, be mindful of thy people in the various difficulties, trials and troubles in this life. Any that are in trouble, do, Lord, comfort them. Do, Lord, grant thy gracious presence and thy upholding in the trouble. Bring them through the trouble, if it's thy will. But use all trials, all tribulations, all difficulties, all afflictions to thy praise. Lord, may there be a sanctifying of these. May they be used to set us apart for God. May they be used to draw us to thy feet. Draw me, and we will run after thee, Lord. Draw me, Lord. Draw me to thy feet. Grant, Lord, this day thy help. Thy help unto me, Lord, as I speak a few things, to thy praise, thine honour, thy glory, and help each of thy servants, Lord. Those, Lord, that labour in thy name, grant liberty in the gospel. Grant the signs following the preaching of the word. And grant, Lord, that seed that's sown might take that deep root down within us. In each of our hearts, we beseech that it might be amongst those that bear that fruit towards thy great and holy name, Lord. May there be outpouring of thy Holy Spirit, outpouring here, Lord, and each of the causes of truth. Lord, grant thy grace, grant thy upholding, grant thy gracious presence, Lord, that we desire above all things. The presence of our God, that the Lord would abide with us as we gather in thy house and abide with us in our own. Leave me not, neither forsake me, Lord. And what a mercy, Lord, that the dependence of thy people is upon thee and upon thy word alone. Thou hast said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. What a mercy, Lord, that's our dependence, because thou hast said it. Deserve to be forsaken, deserve to be cast off. And yet, Lord, thou hast said. May we prove, Lord, thy presence, thy upholding, thy strengthening, Lord. Help us, Lord, and help each, Lord, in each part of the service. Grant thy grace, as we'd ask it all, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn 1048. 1048. We've no abiding city here. This may distress the worldling's mind, but should not cost the saint a tear who hopes a better rest to find. Hymn 1048.
Let's turn together this morning to the chapter that we read together from the second book of Samuel, the 12th chapter, and four words that can be found in the 7th verse. The 12th book of Samuel, chapter 7, and these four words: Thou art the man. Thou art the man. On the way here this morning, some of you know I had to do a journey. It takes about 3/4 of an hour, perhaps nearly an hour to get here. And I just want to mention this because I do believe that all the experiences, all the things that happen in our life are for a purpose. We might not know what that purpose is, but we need the Lord to use every circumstance in our lives to our profit. He does teach his people to profit. We need all the trials, all the difficulties, all our experiences to be sanctified, to be used by the Lord, as I mentioned in prayer, that it might be that setting aside to worship him. So on the journey this morning, there was a car that turned out of a road behind me. It was quite a nice car, that's why I noticed it. It was a big, very big Mercedes, a big silver car. And it pulled out in the road behind me and was, I suppose you'd say, tailgating me a large amount of the journey. Obviously, I was trying to get somewhere very quickly, or it felt perhaps I was going too slow. I was going to the speed limit. And it was chasing me all the way along. And then we got to a relatively straight bit of road towards Great Chesterford, if you know the area, and it overtook me really quickly and went ahead. And I was a bit relieved, really, when it overtook me. I thought, well, that's good, because I didn't really want him that close to the rear of my car, and I didn't want to go that quickly. And then we got closer to here, and I got as far as, we call it the McDonald's roundabout, where the McDonald's is, and you may know where I'd be. And he was 2 cars ahead of me. So his racing didn't really get him that far, did it? Just a couple of cars. And then we turned left towards the M11. Now, on that portion of the road, there has been in the past a speed camera that's now been removed. But this came to me suddenly in the car. I thought, well, where's he racing? Where's he going? I'm not judging him. I'm not fit to judge any man, nor would I judge any man. The Lord's the judge, and he's the only judge. But I thought, what would happen if he had an accident? Anyway, I kept going. And I got as far as the... As you approach the M11, there's a little roundabout, then there's the big M11 roundabout at Duxford. I got as far as the first roundabout, and his car was there. It was stuck on the edge of the roundabout towards the right. He was outside his car, and I noticed in front of it another car that had a collision. He'd crashed. Now, I don't know the cause of the crash. Of course, I don't. I didn't see the crash happen. But it suddenly struck me, well, that's what I thought a few minutes before. What would happen if that man, and it was a man that was driving, I think there was another woman in the car. And I thought earlier, what would that man be now? Now, obviously his life was, well, as far, he was stood up outside the car. He didn't look happy, of course. The front end of his car was not a pretty sight. It was completely destroyed, so it must have been a collision at great speed. But the thought arose again. Why? Now, I don't believe in chance. I don't believe in luck. I don't believe in anything like that. And I trust you don't either. The term of the world will probably say, oh, that's unlucky, isn't it? There's no such thing as luck. No such thing as chance. Everything is ordered. Everything happens by the grace of our God, by his will, or his permission will. But I thought, what a strange thing. Just before that, I'd had that, I wouldn't say it was a prophecy or a premonition. I don't know what it was, but I thought, what happened to that man? Then later on, I saw him, and he'd had that accident. And it made me think about the Lord's preserving mercies. Now, we don't know what we are kept from. I mentioned it in prayer. There are dangers that we see, yes, but many dangers that are unseen. And are we truly thankful for the Lord's mercies? That's why I've dealt in so much in prayer. For his preservation, for his keeping. As I said, I could have been in that accident, but no, the Lord hadn't decreed that.
But it made me think as well about what happened if I had been in that accident. If that accident had been a bad accident. And I don't know if there's anyone injured. I don't know. I didn't see the accident, as I said. But I saw the man standing outside, who obviously wasn't. I saw the driver of the other car, and that wasn't a happy person either. Their intentions disturbed. I don't know if they'll ever get to their destination, their earthly destination now. I don't know if they'll ever arrive to do the things that they'd intended to do, the things that he was racing to do. Lord's providence, the Lord's guiding, the Lord's direction. Now, what made me think, though, is the journey that we're all on. And that journey has one of two destinations, heaven or hell. Now, you and I do not know when the Lord will call for us. We don't know. And I'm not as thankful as I should be. That's your different to me. I know I do a lot of journeys, quite a lot of journeys, preaching and various other things. And sometimes I get in a car, I get out the other end, and I know what I should do. And that should I say a little prayer, or even, not even a little prayer really, but a prayer. Thanking God for preserving. Thanking God for keeping safe. And because we live such busy lives, and often we're racing from one thing to another, and how I sometimes forget. See, I come so short. So short. But we should be truly thankful. But there will be a time, and it may be in a car accident, it may not be, the Lord's sovereign will use, when we will be called from this world. And I said it in prayer. Some in our family have got great afflictions. And one of them has said at least on two occasions in communicating with others, what a comfort it is to the Lord's people that not a shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. I mentioned it in prayer, didn't I? What a comfort that is. To know that he's absolutely in control. No such thing as chance, luck or circumstances. I said, doesn't exist. Everything ordered by the Lord. What a comfort that is. But there will be a time, unless the Lord comes first, when you and I are called from this world. And are we ready? Are you ready? Am I ready? As I said, I saw a man this morning had an accident. I don't know whether he was ready. I'm not going to judge him. Not at all. I mean, many of you know I was not brought up amongst the Lord's people. Didn't have that favour. The Lord didn't grant me that favour. And I can't look at that man and cast stones at him. No, I deserve to be stoned myself. There go I, but for the grace of God. And how sometimes even when I thought, sat in chapel, my mind hasn't been concentrating on the preaching. Perhaps you're so different to me. Mind wanders and so on. Mine does. So I can't cast this down. But there will be a time when you and I will be called out of this world. That journey I mentioned with one of two destinations, heaven to hell. And are you ready? Am I ready for that time when he will call? Sure, maybe the notice. So it may be affliction. Maybe brought down provident over time, but it may be not. Maybe in the twinkling of an eye. He may come as a thief in the night. And are we ready? Are you ready to stand before the judge of the whole earth? To stand before his judgment seat? We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We must all peer before him. There's no escaping that. No. Every single man, that man who I saw, he will be before that judgment seat one day. Every child, every adult, every human will stand before that. And are we ready? We've made an open profession this day. We're found in his house. We've all got our Sunday best on. Good those these things are. Of course they are. What a mercy if we're not found like the foolish virgins, though. They made a profession. They had their lamps, both the foolish and the wise had their lamps. They were indistinguishable looking from the outside. But the foolish virgins had no oil in their lamps, did they? And that sets before us the grace of God. Have we got the grace of God? Do we know his grace? Has he been gracious unto us? Remember that grace is essential
to the work of salvation. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are saved by grace alone. And he chooses the vilest, the filthiest, the wretched, even as Mr. Gerald Buss mentioned at the Gospel Standard, the Jerusalem sinners, the greatest sinners, that he may have all the praise, all the honour, and all the glory in the salvation of sinners. Now, why am I mentioning this? Well, David in this portion that we've heard, a great sin. You can read in the 11th of the book of Samuel of that sin with Bathsheba. How David neglected his duties. How David stayed at home. He tarried at Jerusalem where the armies, the kings had gone forth to battle. He sent Joab and his servants with him and Israel, and they besieged. But David tarried at Jerusalem. Now, what does that set before us? Opportunity for sin, isn't it? David had a responsibility. David had a duty. He should have been with the soldiers. He should have been at the battle. But no, he tarried. And how we should be very careful in our walk and in our conduct that we don't put ourselves into opportunities for temptation. We just walk tenderly before God. I'm not saying that David would not have committed this sin because that was in the ordering of the Lord. But if it had been the battle, it might have been different, wouldn't it? And how you and I should be diligent. How we should be careful to avoid those temptations, to put ourselves unnecessary in those temptations. And you're all aware of the account. How David was at the evening tide, walking, came off his bed, couldn't sleep, walked upon the roof of the house and he saw a woman washing herself, and how women should be careful. How it nowadays, how the standards in this nation, don't get me wrong, I'm not here to criticise. When you see what people don't wear, it's terrible. Where will it end? Only the Lord knows, I know, and he's no, but he will not wink at sin. And how David saw that woman washing herself. And well, you know what happened. That David committed, that adultery. Now, I'm not casting stones at David. I'm not casting stones at you. As I said, I deserve to be stoned. And if we're kept from those sins, well, we have to thank the Lord's keeping. But I'm saying this for you because, well, David was a sinner. And David compounded that sin. How he tried to hide that sin by writing to Joab and telling Joab to put Uriah at the forefront of the heat of the battle. Remember, David wouldn't go to the heat of the battle, would he? He stayed at home at this occasion. And how, remember, before he tried to cover it up, he got Uriah to come back from the battle. And how he said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And how David inquired first of all about how the battle was going. Then to try to get Uriah to go to his house to be with his wife. But Uriah, what honourable man he was, wasn't he? Wouldn't go to his own house. And how his words even condemned David. David. When he wouldn't go to his house. He wouldn't go down to his house. No, he wouldn't do that. Because the Lord's people were in tents or at the battle. Well, David was his house, wasn't he? But how Uriah was slain. Forefront of the heat of the battle. And then we come to that portion that we read together. The Lord sent his prophet, sent Nathan unto David, and said unto him that account of the two men, one rich and one poor. Again, I thought of that man in the car that I saw him. He was rich, looked rich. Car looked rich. And oh, what a mercy if we now feel to be poor. I felt so poor. Poor in spirit. Poor in compassion. But rich in Christ. Rich in him. And how that account and David said. David's anger rose against that rich man. Because he'd taken that little ewe lamb of the poor man. And said that that man shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And then Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thou art the man. There is no such thing as a secret sin.
No such thing at all. You can read of Achan, who took of the accursed thing when the Lord's people came to Jericho, and how he hid those things that he saw, and how the Lord revealed it to his servant, how he went from the tribe to the person, all the way down to him. And you can read of Ananias and Sapphira, who sold that land and kept back part of the price. There's no such thing as a hidden sin from God. There's no such thing as a secret sin. In the 90th Psalm, we can read this. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. Now that was written by Moses, of course, under the direction of the Holy Spirit. We are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told, and for 80 years and 10 and so on. What's the secret sins? Hide sins from each other? Yeah, we might do that. Hide sins from our loved one? We might do that. But we cannot before God. God sees the heart. He sees us through and through. Sees every single sin that you've done. Every single sin that I've done. And what a mountain it is. What a mountain of sin. Sometimes we're hardened to sin. We sin without even knowing we're sinning. It pervades every aspect of our bodies. Everything we do. When I would do good, evil is with me. We're incapable of a good thought or a good deed in and of ourselves. Sin everywhere. Sin in everything we do, everything we think, everything we say, because we're such sinners. That's why in the Bible it's likened to leprosy, that loathsome disease. It can pervade the whole body. Sins of thought, sins of deed, sins of omission, sins of commission. When we even should do good and we don't, that's a sin. Transgression of the law is sin. So we're law breakers. Whosoever should keep the whole law of God, it offended in one point, he is guilty of all. And that's you and I by nature. I know some say there are different degrees of sin, but a single sin, one sin, is enough in the sight of a thrice holy God. Condemn that sinner to an eternal damnation in hell. The wages of sin is death. Eternal death. Eternal separation from God. That's what sin causes, a separation between a thrice holy God and a sinner. David said, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. Shall surely die. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thou art the man. David's sin revealed. Now what a mercy if for you and for I, we've been taught by the Holy Spirit, if in a measure, maybe the exact words, the Lord is sovereign what he uses, the Holy Spirit convicting, convincing of sin. Now, what a mercy if you and I are what's called a sensible sinner. A sinner that's sensible of their sinnership, of their shortcomings, of their failures, of their inadequacies, of their inability to do anything right in the sight of a thrice holy God. Thou art the man. Thou art the man. I told you. I wasn't brought up. I shudder. The times when I think of the things that I used to do, even on the Lord's Day. And I'm not saying that to boost me up. Far from it. No. Thou art the man. Has the Lord said that to you? Have you been truly convicted of sin? Do you truly know what sin is in the sight of a thrice holy God? Not a holy God, but a thrice holy God. We truly understand in the sight of God what sin is. Remember, the Lord spoke this world into existence. Man was formed in his image. The Lord breathed into man and he became a living soul. The whole of this world, man was created for his good pleasure, for his will, to praise him, to worship him as his creator, is God, his all in, and then sin. Sin came into the world, now the original sin, of course, by Adam, and our own sin. How we've added to that man. I've told you, it's sins of deed. You might be thinking, well, I haven't done what David's done. Well, thank God. Thank God if you're kept, because we cannot keep ourselves. And if you think, and if I think that we can keep ourselves, very dangerous ground. Very dangerous ground. Isn't our 22nd article of faith? It's about backsliding. That might be the right number. If I haven't got the wrong number, I apologise. We cannot keep ourselves. We cannot become complacent. We cannot think, well, I'm all right. I've been to chapel lots of years. Many all my life. I read the word of God. I pray every day. No. Think about Peter. Peter, what? Satan's sieve. Think how he never denied his Lord, and yet he denied his Lord with oaths and curses. Now the Lord's people cannot be totally cast off. No, because they're saved with an everlasting salvation. There's that final persevering of the saints. We believe that the Lord's people, that their sins are paid for by the precious blood of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. But how we sin and come short of that stand, and how short we come. And Peter again. Why didn't he fall totally? Because the Lord prayed for him. The Lord had prayed for him that his faith failed not. So we can't be complacent about sin. We can't think, well, I'm okay. No. How we have to have that true spirit of confession, that true spirit of confessing our sins before God. In the 32nd Psalm, David wrote this. Now, what a mercy if you've done this. And me. I acknowledge my sin unto thee. I acknowledge my sin unto thee. And mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. Because he knows. He knows all our sins, all our shortcomings. Knows everything about us. Knows us better than we do ourselves. I acknowledge my sin unto thee. That true confession. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. What a mercy. David could go on. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah, think upon it. Acknowledgement, confession, and the Lord forgave. What a mercy, isn't it? We've got a merciful God and a gracious God. One that cannot look upon a single sin in a single sinner with any degree of allowance. And yet, mercy. Mercy, mercy. And again, David, the 38th Psalm this time, David wrote this. For mine iniquities are gone over my head. His iniquities, those great sins, gone over his head. As a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink. Am I corrupt because of my foolishness? I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease. And there is no soundness in my... It's those wounds, those bruises, those putrefying sores. The 41st Psalm. David had to cry this. I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. The Lord knew his sins. He knew his sins. Nathan had gone and told him, thou art the man. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Sinned against the Lord of life and glory. Sinned against him. And of course, that 50th, or the 51st Psalm. Remember the Psalms I've quoted portions from this morning, the penitential Psalms. And the 51st Psalm, the Psalm that David penned when Nathan went to him. And what was David's desire? Mercy. Mercy. Have mercy, because he was guilty. He couldn't deny it, could he? Couldn't say, oh, it wasn't me, it was someone else. I didn't do that. No. He had to cry for mercy. Have mercy upon me, O God, and his foundation, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions Blot out my transgression. Wash me, make me whiter than snow. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Sins, terrible thing, isn't it? Sins in the right side. Thou art the man. Thou art the man. Nathan sent to David to convince, to convict. Of course, the Holy Spirit using the words of his Nathan. Thou art the man. Thou art the man. Now, what a mercy. If you and I, the Lord has said the same to you and I. Thou art the man. Thou art the man. Yes, you're the sinner. Yes, you're the great sinner. Yeah, perhaps you might think you're not so much great sin as others, but remember what I've said about sin. One sin's enough. Thou art the man. Thou art the man. Convicted, convinced of sin. The Lord knows all our sins. As I've said, every single sin. And what a mercy that he does. What a mercy he does. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. All sin. It's wonderful, that little all, isn't it? The sins of the Lord's people are cast behind his back to the depths of the ocean. They're washed. They're made whiter than snow. In and through the work of a precious Christ, of course. That mediator in God and men, the man Christ. But it's conviction of sin. Convincing of sin. What a mercy to be taught by the Holy Spirit what sin is. Not nice to the flesh. Mortifying to the flesh. Not pleasant to know our failings, our shortcomings, our sinfulness, our corruptions. But what a mercy for the Lord's people. To David personally, Nathan was sent. But what a mercy if to you and I, the same message is delivered. Thou art the man. You're the sinner. I'm the sinner. We can't look at others. We can't say, well, that's a bigger sinner than me. Person in front, next or behind, whatever it might be. No, I haven't done that sin. Thou art the man. Thou art the man. Thou art the man. What a mercy that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, convinces of sin. What a mercy that the Lord's people are not left in sin. David here wasn't left in his sin. The Lord in his mercy sent Nathan to David. At this time, you know, the child had been born. At this time, well, from the moment David committed that sin until the time that the Lord's grace was known. Think about what David went through. Must have been those agonies, mustn't there? Because he knew what he'd done. He had the evidence in the child. And how... can't help thinking that the Lord must have withdrawn his presence. Otherwise those psalms wouldn't have been written when the Lord cried out for mercy. And how the Lord must have withdrawn his presence from David for that backsliding, for that sin. And how he desired the Lord's presence. That's why in the 51st psalm he wrote, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." So he knew there was a joy in salvation. There is. And there's that joy in heaven. There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons that need no repentance. And David knew that in salvation there was a joy. In that joying in his presence, enjoying in his salvation. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I say again, rejoice. To rejoice in what he was. Those that were baptized went on his way rejoicing. But about this period, I can't help thinking that he wasn't rejoicing. The Lord, well, the thing displeased the Lord, didn't it? It was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Remember it says in the word of God, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also receive. The hiding of the Lord's face, not his presence, not his smile, not his joy. And then the mercy of God. Thou art the man. Thou art the man. Now, what a mercy, as I said, that the Lord does not leave his people in sins. No. The Lord reveals them their sinnership. The Lord reveals to them their worthlessness, their insignificance, their poorness, their poverty, the work of the Holy Spirit, and then leads them to a precious Christ. Leads them to cry out for mercy. Leads them to their need of a Saviour. Leads them to a precious Christ. Thou art the man. Thou art the man. So what a mercy it is to know we're sinners. Many millions don't know they're sinners. There's that living in sin and so on. Many millions outside don't they wink at sin. Sin is a very light thing. Think of the standards in this nation, how it comes down so quick, and how it's getting worse. With each passing day, it seems to be, the bad example set in our leaders. We get the leaders we deserve. They're the blind leaders of the blind, aren't they? Think of the apostasy in this nation, turning away from God. Recent surveys said that only about 30% of those that were in one particular group of individuals, they didn't know there was a God. Didn't believe there was a God. But what a mercy that to the Lord's people, they're convinced of sin. To truly know what sin is. And think about what sin is in the sight of a thrice holy God. Think of the time of Noah. When the thoughts of man were continually evil, were continually evil, weren't they? And how the Lord flooded the world, that great, and only if those 8 souls were safe in the ark. Think about Sodom and Gomorrah, where the Lord poured out that fire and brimstone from heaven. And it's the same God, he changes not. It's the same yesterday and today and for now. So mercy is the same. I am the same, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Yes, deserve to be consumed, but he's merciful and he's gracious. Thou art the man, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. And how when Nathan brought this message from the Lord to David, set before him the things that the Lord had done for him. I anointed thee king over Israel. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. He'd done great things for him. King in Israel. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had not been too little, I would have. Moreover, I have given you such and such things. And he despised the commandment of the Lord. Despised the commandment of the Lord. And what did David say? I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned against the Lord. And how? That repentance. I have sinned against the Lord now, sinner. You and I have sinned against the Lord. David, when he numbered the people, said he'd sinned greatly. Remember the dying thief on the cross. How he was convinced, how he was convicted. We've received the due recompense of the reward, didn't he? Or something like that for his sin. But this man had done nothing wrong. Conviction. And then repentance. Now, repentance is not saving. Of course, it's not. We're saved by grace and by grace alone. But that repentance is a sign, isn't it? I know we have to be careful about saying it's a sign because Esau repented and sought it carefully with tears, but it wasn't real repentance. Judas repented. But again, that wasn't God-given repentance. But David was repentant. I have sinned against the Lord. Now, what a mercy if you and I have that same spirit of confession, to know that we've sinned against the Lord. And in John, isn't it? First of John. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we think we're better than others or we're less sinners than others, we deceive ourselves. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And his word is not in us. I have sinned against the Lord, that confession. And I referred to some of the examples in the Psalms where David was able to confess his sins before the Lord. Now, what a mercy if you and I have that same spirit of confession. That same spirit of repentance to come before the Lord and admit to our shortcomings, our failures, our shortcomings. I said, I don't think we really have an understanding of the enormity of our sins, the great number of our sins. We're so hardened to sin. And if I had to make a large catalogue of all my shortcomings and failures, it would be a very long prayer, a never-ending prayer, because such a sinner. But what a mercy we were able to come before the Lord and confess our sins. For he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all, with that true spirit of repentance, that true spirit of sorrow for sin. Think of that prodigal, the prodigal who was brought to that poverty, and Harry returned to his father's house. And what did he say? First of all, it was sinning against heaven. Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. What a welcome. He had the best robe, the ring, the fatted calf, and they ate to be merry. What a welcome there is for sinners, confessing sinners, shortcoming sinners. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them, called the friend of publicans and sinners. What a mercy it is so, because there'd be no hope for you and I if we're not so. And this man is still receiving sinners that come in and through that mediator and God of men, the man Christ Jesus. Thou art the man. Thou art the man. What a mercy, isn't it? That the Lord, as I said, convinces his people. And what a mercy that the Holy Spirit, after that convincing of sins, doesn't leave us there. It's the law work. I know the Lord's a sovereign for how long that law work might be. But how vital it is, isn't it? Because those that know they're the biggest sinners love him the most. Think of that woman that came and washed his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. She was a great sinner. The Pharisees knew that she was a great sinner. And how they said to the Lord, if he knew what sort of sinner she was, he would have nothing to do with him. But she had to come. And she wept. She wept over her sins. She wept over him. And how the Lord then spoke to Simon, didn't he? About her sins being great. And how in between that he mentioned that 50 pence and the 500 pence debtors. And we're debtors. Thou art the man. Debtors to the law. Because we're sinners. Thou art the man. Thou art the man. I have sinned against the Lord. What a mercy. If we come in that true spirit of confession and we search for his mercy and we desire his mercy as David did. David desired the Lord to be and the Lord was merciful to him. Yes, he had to suffer for his sin. And as I quoted already, be not mocked. No, the Lord is not mocked. Be not deceived. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And how Nathan said to him, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. But how there were still those things that the Lord said would happen to David because of his sin. And how the sword would never leave his house. And remember that Amnon died, killed by Absalom. Remember Absalom died. Remember Adonijah died. And the Lord's faithful to his word. Those things that the Lord said would happen, of course, did happen. The sword never left his house. And how what Absalom did with his concubines when David had to flee. The Lord will not wink at sin. The Lord cannot pass by sin. I know the sins of the whole election of grace. That remnant according to the election were laid upon a precious Christ. David's sins were laid upon a precious Christ by faith. The Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ died for his sins, rose again the third day for his justification. And the sins of the whole election of grace are laid on a precious Christ. He paid the price for their sins. But if we sin in this life, the Lord will not wink at the sin, we'll suffer. The Lord will, well, sin, so many failings, so many shortcomings. And now we must plead for mercy. Mercy in this life, mercy eternally. And it's that line of a hymn, isn't it? Sinner, thou hast done the deed. Sinner, thou hast made the Saviour bleed. Thou art the man. Thou art the man. Your sins, and my sins if we're amongst the Lord's people. If we have that good hope through grace that we are his, we're laid upon him. The one who became a curse. Cursed every man that hangeth upon a tree. The one who knew no sin yet became sin. Now that's how the price is paid for sin. Remember, our God's a just God, cannot just discount sins. The price has to be paid for sin. And how our Lord suffered for sinners. Gethsemane, Calvary, the hiding of his Father's face. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Thou art the man. They shall look upon him whom they have pierced. Thou art the man. What a mercy if you and I are given those revelations of a precious Christ suffering, bleeding and dying in our room place and said, thou art the man. To look upon him whom they have pierced, thou art the man. For sin to be made exceeding sinful, thou art the man. I've already mentioned about Peter, how the Lord looked upon Peter. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Have you wept over your sins? Have I wept over my sins? Or are they what the world would call crocodile tears? I'm a hard-hearted sinner. It takes a lot to make me cry. What about inward cries? Have you cried? Are you, that woman that came weeping over her sins? Have you wept over your sins? What a mercy if you have. Thou art the man. And that confession, I have sinned against the Lord, and the Lord's mercy. The Lord hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die, not die eternally. Now, death in this world, of course, is the consequence of sin. There was no death in the world till sin came in. Thou art the man. Thou art the man. Now what a mercy, as I said, to be convinced of sin. To be convinced of what sin is in the sight of a thrice holy. And then what a mercy to plead what he has done. And he has done alone. I've sinned against the Lord. And yet he's merciful. Yet he's gracious. Yet he's long-suffering. That he's a God of love. Greater love of no man than this. That a man lays down his life for his friends. And who are those friends? Aliens. Foreigners. As far off from sheep could roam. And yet, to be made heirs and joint heirs through Christ. What he has done. And here's the, remember, he gave his life for the ungodly. You can't get worse than the ungodly. He gave his life a ransom for many. Oh, to be numbered amongst that many. David was amongst that many. What a mercy if you and I are amongst that many. Or have that hope that we're amongst that many. And any law here that might fear to presume, I fear presumption. May the Lord grant that true petitioning of him. Lord, be merciful. I will not let thee go till thou blessest. Blesses the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Isn't it the 32nd psalm? Let's turn to it. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. David's sins were forgiven. Yes, he had to pay the price in measure in this world because the Lord will not wink at sin. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And how is the sin covered? The precious blood of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Blessed is the man into whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. And whose spirit is no God. I acknowledge my sin unto thee. I've already quoted it. And mine iniquity have I not hid. I have sinned against the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Because he is merciful. May we prove it. May we amongst those who penitent sinners, repentant sinners. And may the Lord make unto each of us sin exceeding sinful. May we by faith get a view of a suffering Saviour in our room, place and stead. May sin be made a terrible thing to us each. And may we flee from sin. And where do the Lord's people flee to? Refuge. May it be our shield, our sun and shield, and our exceeding great reward. And when temptation comes, not to put ourselves in the way of temptation, but when it comes, flee to him. Precious Christ, done all things for his people. Thou art the man. Thou art the man. As I said already, sinner, thou hast done the deed. Sinner, thou hast made the Saviour bleed. And yet, to prove his mercy, I have sinned against the Lord. What a mercy that the Lord still is receiving sinners. And may we each come by faith. Come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. now, if you're laden, heavy laden, you've got a burden. I don't know if any here are burdened with the sense of the sin. We should all be burdened with it. But I don't know if any here have got that particular burden about their sin. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to remain. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, come. Come unto me, all ye that labour and heavy laden, I will give you. Come. Come unto me. Him that cometh unto me will in no wise cast. May we believe. May we have those true belief that he's done all things, but yea, he even paid the price for the sins, yea, even my sins. Even your sins, sinner, that we might know that forgiveness. As he said to that one that was sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven thee. Thou art the man. What a mercy the Lord still convinces, still convicts of sin. And what a mercy that sinners aren't left there, that they're led to a precious Christ by faith, and they see that beauty in him. The one who bore their iniquities, the one who died for them. What a mercy. Thou art the man. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Christie will administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service, and there will be no Sunday school today. And God willing, there will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Izzard, and would members be ready to give out a hymn, please? On Friday evening, Mr. Richard Field is engaged to preach, and next Lord's Day. And the collection next Lord's Day will be for the FGA. Let us close with hymn 1076. 1076. Jesus, in whom the Godhead's rays beam forth with mildest majesty, I see thee full of truth and grace, and come for all I want to thee. Hymn 1076.
great and almighty Lord God, forgive anything this poor sinner, this great sinner, has said amiss in our attempts to worship thee this morning, but grant, Lord, that each of us might know, Lord, the forgiveness of sins, that, Lord, we might know, Lord, that we're made whiter than snow. We might know, Lord, that we're made acceptable in thy sight while time yet remains. Death is upon the road, Lord. Lord, grant, Lord, that each might be given that hunger and thirst after thee, that we would not let thee go, except thou bless us. Bless us with that knowledge. Bless us with that assurance. Bless us with that forgiveness of sin, Lord, that true confession of sin, that true repentance for sin, and then that forgiveness which comes in and through a precious Christ and what he has done. And he has done alone. Be with us as we part. Keep us safe from harm, preserve us from all evil, enable us to gather this night if it's thy will. Do, Lord, forgive anything I've said amiss. Make up where I fail. And anything that's been in accordance with thy mind and with thy will, grant that it might abide with us. As we'd ask it all, for Jesus Christ's sake, in the name of the grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, Lord God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost, rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.